If you have ever second-guessed yourself because a client or a potential client started to give you a hard time about one of your policies or your pricing or anything like that, then you are in the 100% majority of photographers, because we've all been there at some point or another. Or if we haven't yet been there, we have lived in fear that that time would come. And rest assured, that time will come. There are clients out there who, whether for reasons that are reasonable or not, will give you pushback. And when they do, it is in your best interest, and ultimately it's in their best interest, for you to be prepared. You need to be grounded not only in a legal sense with like your policies and your procedures and all those kinds of things, but you also need the confidence and the ability to communicate that confidence so that you are protected, they feel confident, like they can trust you, or they know, you know what, this is not someone who is going to allow me to push them around, and then they decide to go in a different direction. So all of that is really easy to kind of say and pontificate about and know on an intellectual level, but being in that situation and handling it well is a whole different kit and caboodle, which is why I am extremely excited to share my conversation today with my friend Rachel Eutine Evans. She's a photographer in the Philadelphia area, and I just love the conversation that I am about to share with you. She and I chatted, and honestly, at some point I looked at the clock and I was like, oh, I have to wrap things up. I could have gone on for a long time. This is a subject that honestly, no matter how long you have been in business, it comes up and it feels different and fresh and hard essentially every single time. But it does get easier, and it doesn't have to take a long, long time to make moves toward getting easier. So with that, I am going to cue the music and introduce Rachel.
Welcome to This Can't Be That Hard. My name is Anami Tonkin, and I help photographers run profitable, sustainable businesses that they love. Each week on the podcast, I cover simple, actionable strategies and systems that photographers at every level of experience can use to earn more money in a more sustainable way. Running a photography business doesn't have to be that hard. You can do it, and I can show you how.
Rachel, welcome to This Can't Be That Hard. I am so excited to have you on the show today. How have you been?
I've been pretty good. I'm really excited.
Excellent. This is going to be a fun conversation, a juicy conversation, and I imagine one that is going to get a fair number of people like thinking and feeling big feelings and all of those things. So
we love big feelings.
I know. These are my favorite kinds of conversations. Why stay safely in the middle when we can sort of stretch the margins a little bit? Let's start out with having you just kind of give everybody a little background on who you are and where you work and how you came to feel so passionately on this topic.
Sure. So I live in Philadelphia with my husband and my three kids. I have been in business as a photographer since 2011. And I can always remember that because I found out I was pregnant with my daughter right around that same time. And she's turning 12 soon. So that's a real easy way to keep track. But I, you know, was that classic, like really into photography in middle school, high school, never really thought it could be a quote unquote real job. But, you know, I gave it a shot in 2011 and here I am. 12 years later. So
there you go. Yep.
It's working out pretty well. So I am primarily a family and birth photographer in Philadelphia. I'm also a trained doula, but I'm kind of at the point in my career where I kind of am doing all sorts of things. I do event photography now. I work with nonprofits. I've done a few weddings. I'm kind of in that really fun part of like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's do it. And I get to just kind of flex those creative muscles. And it's really great.
Love it.
And yeah, so I've been in business for a long time. And I've been able to really kind of organically grow my business and also my own confidence in my business over these years, you know, learning as I go, making the mistakes and having each mistake be a lesson as I as I kind of move on. And in the last year, and I don't know if this was like a pandemic thing. I did hear some wires, I think, went haywire after the pandemic.
Yeah.
I started having these really interesting client interactions. And, you know, I was able to identify that earlier in my career, they probably would have sent me off the rails. I would have kind of had this self-confidence spiral and not really known what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And each time, even though each one was not a super comfortable interaction to have, I felt very prepared. I felt very confident. You know, I can go into a little bit more detail about what each of those instances was, but it was a great moment of both, oh yeah, I'm really in a great place with my business where I've been doing this so long that I feel really solid mm-hmm. in representing myself this way and defending my business when I need to. And then it also gave me this really interesting insight when I would share these stories of these instances with other female photographer friends that I have. And I was getting a lot of these responses of like, you know, this really aggressive client was demanding these things from me. And my friends were like, oh, you should just give him what he wants so he'll leave you alone. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And why do we think that that's an appropriate way to be a business owner? And it's not just, you know, to deal with someone being aggressive, but especially when you're a business owner and most of us are sole business owners, just us, we design the business, we set the rules. And so we should be portraying ourselves as the authority of our business. We are literally the authority. It's just us. We make the choices.
Right.
And we should not be bending to, you know, big feelings.
Yeah.
That might be coming up.
No, totally. And I am just itching to dive into the specifics. Yeah. And I have some of my own stories that I'm sure I could share too. I'm sure we all mm-hmm. do. What I'm most excited to sort of get into is that line, because I do think that we all probably are nodding our heads along like, yeah, we have to hold our boundaries and all that sort of stuff, which is all great in theory. And it's right. when these situations arise and we're the one in the hot seat who has to respond to the email or pick up the phone to call someone to, you know, handle an issue. Mm-hmm. And it is, whether it's culturally prescribed or whether it is our sort of artistic, sensitive selves or whatever, we tend to be, you know, people pleasers, and we want to make things smooth and easy, and we don't want to deal with conflict. And so when we are in that spot, it's almost like we need a toolkit of ways to respond that walk that line between mm-hmm. being not only professional, but also like, you know, with an eye on good customer service and acknowledging that like we are not perfect and maybe there was a mistake or an issue or whatever. But right. but making sure that we're being clear-eyed about whether it's that or like somebody's trying to push us around, which happens.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's really easy for folks to fall into looking at it in a really binary way of mm-hmm. like you're either a very passive person or you're a very aggressive person. Mm-hmm. And neither one of those labels feels necessarily good because sure. if you're a passive person, it sounds like you're a pushover. If you're an aggressive person, it sounds like you're hard to work with. And I don't think that either of those has to be true. First of all, I think the big key is preparation. And that's one of the things that I recognize, you know, every lesson that I learn becomes a line in my contract mm-hmm. because you only need to learn that lesson once, and then you can protect yourself from it ever happening again. And the protection is preparation and education. And so that's why I say like the number one thing that makes me feel really confident in my business practices, number one is my contract. I've had a lawyer look over it. I feel really secure in what's in there. I feel it's fair, and I make it readily available so that everybody should be lots of people don't read contracts, sure. but you're an adult. I'm going to give you the contract. It's your job to read it. If you sign it, you're agreeing to what I have in my contract.
Yeah.
And the whole purpose of our contracts as business owners is to protect us in those situations, is to give us that foundation where it's not an argument. You can't argue with me over whether or not you think this is fair. You signed this thing and I gave you a chance to disagree with what it said before you signed it.
Right.
Now this is our mutual agreement of how we're going to proceed. You can say you don't like it, but it doesn't change the fact that you signed the contract. Right. And I mean, there's always going to be people who will try to push that line.
Sure.
But I think for us as business owners, it's A, having the contract, and then the nice kind of partner of that is having a lawyer that you feel really comfortable going to and saying like, ugh, this person is pushing out back against my contract. I just want to triple check with you that this is airtight and this is correct, and the lawyer can confirm that to you. And, you know, having those two things backing you up, that is a huge part of my confidence. And then the other part of that is the client education that goes into before they hire you. That is the other thing that gives me a really solid foundation. You know, I show you all of my prices up front, all of my policies up front. You have plenty of time to look at the contracts and ask me questions. Like, I have made every possible opportunity to give you all the pertinent information, to ask every question. You know, that's as much as I can do. I can't sit you down and force you to read it. I can provide it to you, and then you can sign it, give me your credit card, you know, whatever it is. You're joining into that agreement from your end. But I have checked off all those boxes. And so then later, if you come back and you have a problem with any of those things, I'm starting on such a solid ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that you're really upset. And I can also send you this PDF of this contract that you signed.
Yeah.
Your chance to have a problem with any of that stuff. So.
Hang on, guys. I have a quick message for you. Did you know that This Can't Be That Hard isn't the only podcast I host? Each month, my marketing director, Dana, and I team up to bring you a fresh injection of marketing ideas and inspiration on our other podcast called The Consistency Club. The podcast is free and available to any photographer looking to uplevel their marketing game, or you can take it one step further and join The Consistency Club, where you get the extended version of the podcast along with monthly email and social media templates, bonus trainings, and special access to the live marketing events we host twice a year. If you're interested in tuning in, you can search for and subscribe to The Consistency Club wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to join us in the membership, you can visit go.thiscan'tbethathard.com/club to sign up. Okay, so with all that preamble, let's get into the nitty-gritty. Tell me a little bit, and I'll give you carte blanche in terms of which which story you want to start out with, but let's let's dissect this in real life. Like, how has this come up in your business?
I'll give you two examples. One, I worked with a family, say, you know, like I said, I have all of my pre-session boxes that I check. We had the session. The way that I run my sessions, I do, you know, kind of a post-pandemic version of IPS, where they pay a session fee. We meet together on Zoom a few weeks later. We look at the photos. One member of the couple met with me to look at the photos. We went through them, made the selections, even, you know, and again, I'm very upfront with all my pricing, let them know what their title looked like, their total looked like. Actually, I'm going to take a few things out. It was a full back and forth, comprehensive conversation, paid, delivered all the products. And after I had finished delivering all the products, the other member of the couple sent me a very aggressive email saying that I had misled the other person and had basically tricked them into spending all of this money. And how dare I? And I should absolutely give them X, Y, and Z in compensation. And in one of in the, and that would be a very great example of very aggressive language.
Wow. Yeah.
Very, you know, how are you going to fix this? Because you have made a mistake and we, you know, we have been wrong, you know, very, there was no nuance. It was very much, this is your fault. And I didn't even blink. I mean, I was, you know, the emotional side of me was like, well, that really sucks. Cause I just thought we had this great, you know, experience.
Yeah.
So happy. And they, you know, and I just very calmly downloaded the PDFs of the contract that they signed, the invoice that they paid, the pricing. I even have a little box at the bottom of my pricing sheet that they get before they hire me that says, yes, I've read this pricing. And you can be sure that after that experience, I added another box to my contract that says, I have read the pricing and I agree to the policy. You know, every time this happens, it's like, oh, I'm just going to make it even more foolproof. And that was the end of that. They got the physical proof that what they were saying was untrue. And I never heard from them again.
Good.
And that felt great.
Yeah.
I had a slightly more complicated situation a few months later where a family had hired me for like a maternity newborn combination. And we did the maternity session. We did the, you know, image purchase. Mm-hmm. I delivered the products. Everybody was very happy. The baby was born. they scheduled the newborn session. And 2 days before the newborn session, I got an email that, you know what? We've changed our minds. At first I was like, you know, they're probably, I'm very kind of lifestyle documentary style. Maybe they decide they want more classic, like studio newborn set, you know. I wasn't so bothered. I was disappointed, but okay, fine. Great. I wish you luck. I hope the baby's good. Da, da, da. And the next email was, well, yeah, but where's our refund for the newborn session? And I, oh, you mean the non-refundable session fee that holds your spot on my calendar? You mean that one? And we went back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah.
They were just, you know, and it very quickly devolved into very aggressive. Again, you trick people into spending all this money and your policies are so hidden and your pricing is so hidden. And again, I said, oh, you mean all of these policies and the prices that I sent, here are the emails where I sent them to you. And, you know, here's the email where you said you were very happy with everything. You know, it was just, it made me feel very solid that I had all of these things to respond with. He pushed back hard enough that I did eventually go to my lawyer to say, here's the situation, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a huge amount of money, but it's the essence of the situation.
The principle. Yeah, absolutely.
It's the principle of it, you know, and luckily I have a kick-ass lawyer who was like, absolutely no, do not give in to him. Your contract is solid. Your policies are solid. I'll double check them for you. Yep. Everything looks great. You have my permission to block his email.
Nice.
And, you know, I won't lie. I still had stomach aches about it for a good while because, you know, it doesn't feel good to have somebody bully you and you know, accuse you of things, even if you know that that's wrong.
Yeah.
But professionally, I felt very secure that, like, okay, this is a sucky thing that's happening in my business. I'm so lucky I've made it, you know, 12 years, and this is the first time this has really happened. That was the moment, because that, I, you know, that was like an ongoing, he wouldn't leave me alone for a good while. And that was actually the time when I kept going to all my photographer friends, like, oh, have you ever dealt with something like this? What would you do? And a lot of them were saying, like, it's just not that much money.
Yeah.
Just give in. And I just knew, you know, A, giving him what he wanted was not going to make him happy. Mm-mm. It was going to make him feel justified, and that it might have even made it worse, because now I'm acquiescing to this thing he's demanding. Who knows now where he's going to take it?
Sure.
It just really felt like I had to shut it down at the start. But it bothered me that so many people were saying, like, it's just not worth it. Like, just give in. And I felt like that doesn't really do us justice as business owners to do that.
I am absolutely 100% on Team Rachel on that. Like, it is hard. And I've been in that seat a handful of times. Back when I was a wedding photographer, I had a mother of the bride who, after what I deemed to be like a fantastic wedding, like, I felt like I had really, you know, it was one of those where you don't even think twice about when you're delivering it. There was no, I was like, oh, I can't wait for them to see these and blah, blah, blah. That was my mindset. And sure enough, the couple got back to me and they were super happy and whatever. And then this, like, mother of the bride came out of nowhere. She had never been my primary contact. I was... And she, like, sent me the just, like, dagger in the heart kind of email about how I had, I mean, I'm sure what it came down to was she wasn't pleased with how she looked in something. I mean, we all know that that's, like, what ends up happening.
Yeah.
But she was saying, and it was very aggressive. I mean, it was the same kind of thing where she was, you know, demanding this, that, and the other. And this was early enough in my business that I knew... kind of intellectually that she didn't really have any legal ground to stand on. But I did question myself where I was like, maybe I should, you know, offer. And I was trying to, you know, because with weddings, of course, it is tricky. And if you shoot births and events and stuff like that, like, that's a one shot deal. You don't you can't go back and redo those things.
So let's restage it. Yeah.
Right. So I'm sitting there, you know, racking my brain about, like, how can I make this right? How can I make this right? And eventually it occurred to me, like, I did make this right. Like, I didn't do anything wrong here. She's unhappy for whatever reason, and I'm sorry that she's unhappy, but I can't fix that, and it's not something that I'm going to financially fix, because that was the other, she was kind of poking at the, like, we need money for this. And I came to find out down the road that mother of the bride had gone and gotten a full refund on the wedding cake, which is crazy. she had gotten a bunch of money back from the florist. And I was like, oh, this is like her hobby. Like she goes and complains and gets aggressive and gets up in people's faces. And I was
so this is like her cocktail party story. I was like, oh, guess what I got?
I got the best deal on my daughter's wedding by like ruining the lives of all of these vendors. And
all businesses probably that are depending on every.
Yeah. And I was I think that was kind of a turning point in my business where I kind of it opened my eyes to the fact that those people are out there and that not that I ever want to assume that of anyone, but that. You're absolutely right. Like having my ducks in a row so that I feel like I'm on good legal ground, because those people also tend to be or be married to lawyers. No offense to lawyers out there, but like they definitely are like, oh, I know how to do this. I know how to play
and they're
this
like
game.
A real estate lawyer. And that makes them feel like they have the And that was my favorite thing, too. I was like, yeah, no, I know what lawyers are. I pay one.
Yeah.
To make sure that I am, you know, running my business like a real business. It's a real business. Just
it is a real business.
Me.
Not like a real business. It is a real business.
It is a real business. It has, you know, legal contracts and I pay my taxes and like, you know, you have to take it seriously.
And you put the effort in, and I say you, and I'm going to use the plural you, we all put so much effort and time and care and energy into what we provide for people. And I think that when we are called on these kinds of situations and somebody is trying to poke holes in that, it's really important to be able to step back. Like, no, I know what I do here. Oh, yeah. I am not trying to swindle anybody out of their money.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of waiting a day.
Yes.
Before you respond to any of that sort of aggression. I'm also a big fan of drafting the email that you want to write and maybe sharing it with a friend, but not actually not
quite sending
it.
Yeah.
Getting it out of your system, you know, because that energy has to go somewhere. To get back to the idea of like using specific language when you're in those situations, there is a middle ground between being super passive and, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And, you know, how can I make it better? And all, you know, and being super aggressive and be like, F you, you're wrong, you know, what a lot of us maybe would like to say in those situations, you know, and what I have found, you know, this is the extreme example of kind of what I'm talking about. But when you are being met with that sort of extreme aggression, like serene neutrality is the best way to respond. No emotion, no passive language, no super aggressive language, just facts. You know, and both times that I dealt with these men who were coming at me about how I run my business, I did not address any of the emotional stuff in their emails. I didn't say like, I'm so sorry you're upset. I'm so sorry you feel, I didn't apologize for any of their big feelings because I was very sure that their feelings were their own and not my responsibility.
Right.
So I didn't even address it. We didn't even talk about it in the email. All I said was, here, you know, in that one first case, here's the PDF of the contract. Here's the PDF of the invoice. Here's a copy of the, you know, here's the information that you need to clear up what you're talking about. In that case, actually, he was they hadn't purchased all of the digital images and he was demanding that I give them to him. And so in that particular instance, I said, if you would like to purchase the remainder of your gallery, this is how much it would cost. And I'd be more than happy to send you an invoice. Please let me know if you'd like me to do that for you.
Yep.
All the best. And then we archived that email and I never heard from him again. But the other one, again, it was so hard to not respond as a human being.
Yes.
Like, you know, they're a being so hurtful.
Yeah.
And you want to say, hey, you're being so hurtful.
Yeah.
How can you possibly think you deserve any of these things that you're asking of me, a human being? You're asking me, a human being, to take this abuse from you and give you something.
Yes.
This is not the universe that we're operating in. And again, I wrote those versions of the emails out. Some of them I even sent to my lawyer of like, this is what I'd really like to say. And she would write back and say,
just the facts, ma'am.
There is no refund on non-refundable session fees. Here again is a copy of the contract for your records.
Please let me know if you have any further questions.
No, please, please never contact me again.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, but the other end of those things, you know, because you could have, like you were kind of referencing, you can have more lower level conflicts with clients and inquiries. You know, you can have inquiries that respond like, oh my God, your prices are outrageous, or this is ridiculous. You know, you can have people like that, which honestly, most of the time I don't even respond to them. I'm like, okay, thanks for letting me know that you're going a different way. Right. And I, you know, I'm done with that. I don't need to debate you. You know, maybe you have a client who you've gone through the process with, and they are upset about the way their photos look, or the way that, you know, an album turned out, you know, whatever. It might be like an actual customer service level problem. But again, you don't have to kind of throw yourself under the wheel. You go and you check your, you know, you check your list. Say, did I do all of the things that I expect of myself as a business? Sometimes you didn't check about, oh, you're right. I didn't, you know, proof this thing or whatever. And you can absolutely own up to that.
Yeah.
But something that I saw several years ago that I really loved, and I try to use even in those situations of like, if you're somebody who's chronically late, don't, you know, when you finally show up, don't say, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm late. My car broke down and my kids had to, you know, like don't show up apologetic and giving excuses. Show up with gratitude to the other party. So, you know, thank you so much for being patient. Thank you so much for waiting, you know, shift the focus onto the energy that they're giving.
Right.
And so, you know, you have a client who's upset about something. Thank you so much for bringing this to my attention. I'm absolutely going to contact my printer and, you know, resolve this issue. I had a canvas show up with the hanger on the wrong part of the picture, and it was going to be upside down. And, you know, my client was like, oh, I'm upset. This is a really high quality piece. This is supposed to be like a fine art piece in our house. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. I'm going to look into this. Thank you for giving me the chance to, you know, make this right. You know, it was much more in that realm of speak as opposed to, oh my God, please forgive me. You're right. I'm so sorry. You know, because then you're putting the onus on the other person to then focus it back on you and say, oh, it's okay. I'm so sorry. You know, you're focusing more on that interaction rather than, yep, we've identified a problem and now we're going to
find a solution. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that I try to remind myself in these situations is if somebody's coming at me about something that, like, they're being aggressive and they're, it seems like they're trying to get some sort of, like, I don't know, like they're trying to play a game or something. I don't want to reward that behavior for one second. I don't want that person hiring me again. I don't want them telling their friends to hire me. Like, you know, there is, unfortunately, the potential that somebody like that will go and leave a really bad review. And that is a reality in our businesses. I do think that most people out there, if you, hopefully you're doing enough screening that you don't have these clients all the time, right?
Right.
Like, you don't want to just that is a whole different situation. If you have lots of these clients, there is an issue. But when you get the occasional one off, I think that most of us out there reading reviews can read that. And the nice thing on Google or, you know, wherever else people are leaving reviews is most of the time you have the opportunity to respond to a review. So, you know, being able to like restate what your version of the situation is again in that, like, what did you call it? Like something serene, like perfectly serene.
Oh, neutral and serene.
Neutral and serene. Yeah. you know, responding as like the voice of reason. Having that one bad review in and among a whole bunch of good reviews, it is what it is. Like, no big deal.
Yeah.
But
I actually, I received my very first bad review from one of these.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I actually didn't respond to that review because I was so kind of embroiled in the email back and forth with this person that the review to me was kind of like, you know, this is like not... I regret that I didn't do it then. I don't want to do it now because I don't want to reopen.
Right.
I don't want this person to get an email like, oh, she responded to your review.
Right.
You know, I kind of play that scenario out. I'm like, oh, somebody's going to see this one unhinged review and be like, this, you know. And I actually had a session recently where the woman who had hired me, we were chatting. Oh, I've been following you on Instagram and I checked all your reviews. They're so amazing, except for that one weird one. And at first I was like, oh no, she saw the one. But then we chatted about it and she was like, yeah, it was clearly like, it didn't fit all of the over 100 right. other reviews that I've had. And I also kind of thought about, you know, what you referenced of like, you don't want those people who are going to kind of push your boundaries. And I kind of thought, you know what, if somebody's going to look at my over 100 five-star reviews and see the one negative review, and yeah. that's why they don't hire me, I think that's probably okay. Yeah. I probably didn't want to work with that person.
Yeah.
You know, or if they didn't even just send me an email of like, oh, I really want to work with you. And I have a question. What is this person referencing? And I can explain, you know, at least that's what I'm telling myself right now.
No, that's great. Yeah. And I know I feel like I could continue talking about this for hours and hours. And we sort of talked about this in the beginning a little bit about getting your legal ducks in a row, making mm-hmm. sure that every time you have some sort of issue, you are making space to then go back and like find where you can do a better job with education or whatever. What other kinds of strategies or tips do you have? And I want to actually take this specifically because I think the elephant in the room here is that you and I both have been in business for a long time. And there yep. is a certain amount of built-in confidence that comes with longevity.
Yep.
For someone who is new, I don't think, and you can certainly feel free to disagree with me, but I don't mm-hmm. think that is a reason where like, well, because I'm still new, you know, I feel like I should go and like go the extra mile, whatever. I could see somebody sort of talking themselves into that. And I certainly mm-hmm. see it all over, you know, the Facebook forums where people are like, oh, you should go back and, you know, like
offer them something,
mow their grass in addition to everything else. Like, so what would your suggestions be for someone who, let's say they're just starting out, they feel, you know, even if on the outside, it's like the duck above the water, you're, you know, placid and whatever, yep. and then beneath you're like, what would you say to someone at that juncture who is, you know, confronted with an issue or who is really worried about potentially being confronted in a situation?
And they kind of don't have that confidence already built up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I would say is that there's no reason why being a new business, you have to act like a new business. I don't think that you have to act, you know, I think there's a lot of folks when they're first starting out, you know, you have the imposter syndrome, you don't have a ton of confidence. A lot of folks kind of go into their early business years very almost apologetically mm-hmm. from the outset of like, mm-hmm. I don't really know what I'm doing. Please forgive me. You know, right. kind of preparing for the mistakes before they happen. I don't think you have to do that. I think that, you know, starting off fresh in your business, you can do the same things that we've been talking about. You can get a contract. There's, you know, there's the Law Tog. There are a lot of resources out there where you can buy a template contract. You go in and you customize it for yourself. And then you find a lawyer in your area who works with professionals in your field and you pay them. You know, that is one of the costs of starting a business. And it is absolutely worthwhile. That's mm-hmm. a high value to pay a lawyer for a couple of hours to go through your contract, make sure that it's great. Then you have that from the beginning. You don't mm-hmm. have to go through all of the, you know, really sharp learning curves of, ooh, that should have been my contract. You'll still run into things. There are still things as you, you know, oh, I really would love that to never happen again. And you'll go put that right. in your contract. But starting off with that really solid footing, I think is something that everybody can do. You don't have to be in business for a decade to then, you know, pay a lawyer to make sure your contract is solid. I do think there's a little bit of fake it till you make it in those early years and, you know, in circumstances after them. But yeah. part of what I do, even now, when I look at my emails that I'm writing to clients, is I check, you know, I have a mental list, but you could make a list next to your computer screen of the most commonly used kind of passive words that we tend to throw into things when we're feeling insecure. Things like just, only, if, maybe, could, you know, all of these things that give a little bit of space of like, maybe I don't really know what I'm talking about, but if you agree, I guess we could do it this way, you know, and editing, you know, aside from looking for those specific words, say things in as few sentences as possible, be efficient, and that way it gives you less space to add in that kind of cushioning language of just if they're asking how much your session is, here's the session fee. This is what it covers. This is the next step. I would love to chat if you have any other questions. Like, it doesn't have to be a whole lot more than that.
Yeah.
Because if you start, you know, oh, this is my session fee. And yes, it doesn't include any digitals, but what you get instead is this and da 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 da. It's kind of setting up your the potential client to be like, okay, well, clearly I'm not getting anything I should be getting, and I'm going to be expecting more from this business going forward, mm-hmm. because they're already setting me up that they know or they don't feel confident in what they're offering me. And so I should be expecting more.
And I think that exactly what you just said, that subtext is not necessarily something that registers in the conscious part of the recipient's brain, but it is mm-hmm. funny how it sets the tone for the overall relationship when right out of the gate, somebody is saying, you know, my fee is this. I know that that's kind of high, but blah, blah, blah. And then defending it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that defensive language comes very naturally when you are feeling insecure. And it is really important to edit yourself. You know that I'm a big fan. Anybody who listens to this podcast knows that I am a huge fan of getting on the phone. But, and I'll put a big asterisk beside that, when you've got someone who is aggressively, like, coming at you, definitely keep a written record of everything that's happening. Yep. So that's a good time to go back and forth via email.
And even if you have chatted on the phone, send them an email right after that summarizes what you just spoke about.
Right, exactly. And then in terms of, like, if you are in a place where you are feeling super insecure, either get yourself a lot of practice before you get on the phone, or just give yourself a little bit of extra time with writing that out. Now, I still think that the written communication isn't as good when it comes to developing rapport and building trust and all that sort of thing. But if you're going to get on the phone and make excuses and apologies and all that sort of thing and, like, immediately be like, never mind, my prices are a quarter of what I just said, then you're not ready. Like, and that's okay. Yeah. It's just, you know.
And I think the other part of the value of, like, what can make written communication more valuable mm-hmm. is if it does sound the way that you speak. Mm-hmm. And those can, they can kind of lead back and forth. So like, if you get more comfortable emailing in a confident professional mm-hmm. voice that still sounds like you, you don't have to sound like a lawyer. You don't have to sound like somebody else's business tone, but it sounds like you, but you're going to practice not apologizing for what you're saying. You're going to, you know, even things of like, if you decide to book with me, and instead say, when you decide to book with me, this will be the next step. Mm-hmm. Just those little tweaks in how you communicate to your client is going to put them in a different mindset. Mm-hmm. And then if you do get on the phone, think about how you wrote it out in your email and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just go through the bullet points. Say, I'm going to explain how my sessions work to you. First, you're going to pay this session fee. It's going to hold your spot on my calendar. We're going to have an amazing session. It'll last about an hour, a couple weeks later. You know, say everything as if it's a fact. Mm-hmm. And it's still neutral. You're not being aggressive. You're not like, you absolutely, you know, it's just serene and neutral.
Yeah.
Here's the information. And if they push back, then you can have a more dynamic conversation about it. I'm like, oh gosh, the images aren't included in the session fee? Nope. And what I've found is that my clients really appreciate being able to see the images before they decide what they're going to purchase. And it works out really well. And I'm here to help you the whole way. I'm really great at helping people make decisions and pick out the images they're going to love forever. And that's the same thing I'm going to say in my email. And you get you get more of my personality hearing it out of my voice. Mm-hmm. But the message is the same. The wording is the same. I'm not going to try to sound more formal in my email if that's not how I communicate.
Yes. Love that. There have been times in my business where I have literally pretended in my mind that I was my own very well-paid administrative assistant. And then I just switched out the, like, she for I. But, because I do. I sometimes feel like, well, if I were speaking for my boss, I would have much more mm-hmm. like, well, this is what these are the rules and this is what the policies are and here are the prices. And it just feels less, I'm less, I don't know, inclined to get defensive or make mm-hmm. excuses or feel nervous. I don't know. So if that trick helps anybody else.
I do the same thing. And I also, when I feel myself getting ready to defend something, remind myself to just say, yep, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Someone says, like, gosh, this package is really expensive. Yeah, that's what it costs. This is what it includes. Yep. Let me know if you have any questions, you know, because, and that's a big part of finding clients that are going to be a good fit for you too, is the more upfront you are with what you provide and what it's going to cost and how valuable you think it is. And I have literally said to people, if this is not in your budget, by all means, please do not book me.
Yeah.
I do not want to work with people that this feels like pulling teeth with.
Yeah.
I want you to be so excited to spend the money on what I'm going to create for you. And that's, you know, and that's why it's so difficult when people try to come back and say, but you tricked. I'm like, that is, why would I do that? Yeah. why would that, I would have everybody coming to me saying, oh my God, I can't believe these prices. That sounds terrible. Why would I have done that? I would never hide the information from the person that I want to be excited about. You know,
I mean, if I were going to go to the trouble of being a con artist, I would try and do it in a much higher, higher price bracket.
If I wanted to trick you, that'd be a whole different conversation.
Oh, man. Well, Rachel, this has been an amazing conversation. I've really enjoyed it. I would love everyone out there to know where they can contact you, follow you, get to know you better. I know you do some one-on-one mentoring too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my website is my very long name, RachelUtainEvans.com. If you even Google Utain, U-T-A-I-N, I should show up right away because there's not very many of us out there. On Instagram, I am Rachel U-E Photo, and you can kind of find all my stuff there. And then, yeah, I offer hourly mentoring for folks in the photography world. And I kind of call it open book mentoring. So really anywhere that you are in your business career, anywhere you are in your creative career, if there's just something that you feel stuck on and you need somebody to really, you know, kind of help you get over that hump or, you know, turn the light on where you've been a little bit stuck, that's really the type of work that I really love doing with other photographers, is helping you look at things in a different way and making you feel confident.
And I love your level-headed, thoughtful approach, which I think is sometimes what we all need, is just somebody to bounce ideas off of who can take all the mess that's in our minds and sort of speak it back to us and say, I think maybe you've got this a little twisted here. And I know that you're so good at doing that. So,
Thank you. I joke that I doula people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through the, you know, I'm trained in birth doula, but I think that I use those skills in all the other aspects of my life. And, you know, I, you know, use doula as a verb. I can doula you through your photography business.
I love that. Well, business is certainly a labor of sorts. So
absolutely.
Well, this has been a pleasure. I look forward to chatting with you again, hopefully very soon. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of This Can't Be That Hard. I'll be back same time, same place next week. In the meantime, you can find more information about this episode, along with all the relevant links, notes, and downloads, at thiscan'tbethathard.com/learn. If you like the podcast, be sure to hit the subscribe button. Even better, share the love by leaving a review in iTunes. And as always, thanks so much for joining me. I hope you have a fantastic week.